The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And just a reminder, if you're not able to listen to all of today's show, you can go to naturaldocradio.com and you'll find all of the shows that we have been doing here for the past year. And so, good morning, Dr. Slavin. How are you today?
Good morning, Janet.
You're very well. Just full of information to share with our listeners.
Yes, start off talking about the Zika virus, because it's getting a lot of attention again, because they found a couple of people that had Zika. I guess they must be testing everybody for Zika. Have you been tested?
I have not been tested for Zika, but I was listening to the mayor of Miami-Dade this morning, and he was talking about how so many people, the illness is so mild, they might not even know that they've been bitten or that they are dealing with Zika.
The Center for Disease Control says Zika virus is almost completely harmless to nearly everyone. And you might, like you said, and you might not even know you have it. And you'll have, or if you have symptoms, they're usually so mild, you'll get over it before you realize something's wrong.
So do we think that there might be some sort of underlying goal by an organization, a corporation, to really fuel what is becoming almost hysterical out there?
So the big fear associated with Zika is in pregnant women, and the fear is having newborns with microcephaly. And is that fear well-founded or exaggerated?
Well, we should let people have a wide array of factual information with regard to Zika before they decide that this fear of contracting Zika is absolutely true. What people need to know, and we've said it here, that Zika has been around since the 1940s, and that there are a few cases of microcephaly, a pregnant woman giving birth to a baby with deformed cranium and small brain, and that of the thousands of women in Brazil who were pregnant and had contracted Zika, not all of them were giving birth to a baby with microcephaly. One of the things that was determined in Brazil was that there may very well be a chemical component to the damage during pregnancy.
Now, as we said before, the Zika virus was first observed in 1947 in Uganda. But they also say that it didn't naturally arrive in Uganda. it was placed there by the Rockefeller Foundation.
Whoa.
But reports of the associated symptoms of Zika never talked about microcephaly in Africa.
Right.
That only started when there was an outbreak in Brazil, and the reports of microcephaly also coincided with the large-scale spraying of insecticides in those areas. So I think there's still a lot more study that needs to be put into this whole problem about Zika.
I don't know. Are they telling the people in the area of Miami-Dade that is being sprayed, telling people to stay inside during the spraying? The videos that I was watching showed the spraying going on and people in cars following relatively closely behind the spraying.
Yeah, and we don't know the extent. How long does the spray remain active in the environment? So that's just one thing. And then on top of that, there was a report out that Florida is raising the allowable limits of various chemicals being dumped into the drinking water. And here's what they're saying. And, you know, nobody ever talks about this. How come the public isn't participating in the decisions about the quality of their drinking water? They're talking about more than 24 cancer-causing chemicals being dumped into the state's rivers and streams, and they're saying that they're going to raise the allowable limits beyond even what the federal limits suggest. For example, they wanted to raise the benzene limits from 1.18 parts per billion to 3 parts per billion, but there was such an outcry, they lowered it to 2 parts per billion. But the federal standard for benzene is 1.14 parts per billion. So why would they want to do that, especially when benzene has been linked to various types of cancer like leukemia? You know, and I don't know, why aren't our politicians a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for, influenced by the voters instead of special interests?
A very serious point for our listeners to consider. Find out the underlying facts before you make up your mind about a particular issue. You may be given what appear to be facts, but may very well be opinion when you're basing your decisions on what you hear in the mainstream media.
Now, they say in this report that these chemicals and raising the allowable limits has to do with the chemicals associated with fracking. Are they drilling for oil in Florida?
Well, there are certain areas off the coast of Florida that have oil and gas deposits.
So, when we try to look for answers to the question, why do we get sick? These are, you know, components to the answer. It's not one exposure that makes it sick. It's the accumulation of exposures to many different things. Now, I wanted to talk about vaccines only because on television yesterday they had a physician on saying just how important it is for the children to get vaccinated, and it's perfectly safe, and you don't want to take a chance being exposed to those very serious childhood illnesses.
It's interesting because I was reading an article this morning with regard to a hepatitis vaccine that's given to newborn babies. And the reason that vaccine is given to every newborn baby born in a hospital here in the United States is to prevent the virus from ultimately creating liver cancer. The number of adults who ultimately die because of the hepatitis contamination, they die from liver cancer. That number, 5,000 adults. Now, couldn't we think of some other way to help those 5,000 adults with liver cancer because they're infected with hepatitis, rather than giving every newborn the hepatitis vaccine.
Well, maybe they would have been much higher if more people were immunized against hepatitis.
Well, aren't all of those babies, and how long has that been going on? It's been going on for quite a while.
I don't believe that statement I just made. I'm just playing.
You're just giving me a little bit of a trouble here?
No, the incidence of a lot of these illnesses do not justify the mass immunization of the population at large. Especially if you took other steps.
Absolutely.
To stay healthy, like eating well, getting enough sleep. Remember, even for a vaccine to be effective, you need a strong immune system. Well, if you have a strong immune system, why do you need the vaccine? But the other point, this is a very important point to think about, is the way they determine whether a vaccine works or not is looking at antibody levels. But antibody levels do not correlate with immunity. In other words, just because you have antibodies doesn't mean you're going to successfully be immune once exposed to those various pathogens. But that's how they do it. And that would explain, by the way, when you hear about outbreaks of measles or mumps and the vast majority of the people getting sick had been vaccinated. They had antibodies, they just didn't have immunity. And the explanation for why that is, when you're exposed to these various infections, you're not exposed to them with an injection. Because when you get an injection of a vaccine, it's bypassing all the layers of your immune system. And that means you have you don't have full immunity. When you're exposed to these pathogens, you're either getting exposed to them through the respiratory route or the digestive route. So it goes through many layers, and your body develops immunity that way.
So I'm thinking of all of the ways that we can have a very health-supported digestive system, proper acidity in our stomachs, the proper production of saliva, and a very, very healthy mucous membranes in our mouths. I would imagine that you can support your liver in a very specific way, your liver being able to produce all kinds of enzymes as a response to possible exposure to pathogenic substances, your lower digestive system just brimming with health-supporting microorganisms, a very correct balance of beneficial bacteria in your gut. But when we come back, one of the things that I want to talk about is how people can support a healthy respiratory system so that they're not so vulnerable to a pathogen that they may be inhaling.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
IV therapy is a superior treatment to achieve nutrient-supported healing responses that are not achievable with oral doses of nutrients. Support the oral nutrients you are using with IV treatments that assist in fighting off illness, supporting energy, and highly functioning organ systems. Do you wonder how some people are able to go and go without ever becoming exhausted or ill? IV nutrient therapies can provide the unending energy you need. We can help you understand the benefits of testing nutrient function in your body and help optimize the presence of necessary vitamins and minerals. You can discuss all your health needs with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. Call today, 954-748-4991.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking ways that you can protect yourself, support your good health, without being so vulnerable to vaccines for a variety of different reasons. How to support your immune system.
But I wanted to, you know, there's always this constant debate about the safety of vaccines. And the reason that is because they haven't done the safety studies to the extent that they should, for example.
I'm going to jump in here, Dr. Slavin. They don't have to do safety studies. We already know. Mercury is toxic. We know what kind of damage mercury does. We already know that aluminum, a variety of different metals, there are toxic ingredients. We don't have to study them, do we?
Well, according to the CDC, the vaccines are perfectly safe. But here are some issues that haven't been addressed. What happens when you give vaccines simultaneously? Because when I usually test for the safety of a vaccine, it's done unilaterally, one vaccine. What happens when you mix 10 or 12 vaccines at a time?
Okay, and what about when you have vaccines in a vial that are multiple doses? So what happens? How well mixed are the ingredients when you get down to the last dose?
That's a good point, too. That's why we mentioned in an earlier program, make sure your doctor isn't using a multi-dose vial, that he's using individual vials so that there's they don't have to put the thimerosal and other preservatives in it because it's a unit dose. Plus, there's no minimal risk of contamination because you're not, going in with a needle over and over again. Here's a question that I have. Where are the studies on the adjuvants in vaccines? For example, when you mix mercury and aluminum, what side effects is that going to cause long term?
Now, the makers of the vaccines would say that that combination is in there to have a specific response to a toxin from your immune system. But how much sense does that make?
And it seems like the only studies that have been done were with the MMR and hepatitis B vaccines. But that means the rotavirus, diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus, hepatitis B, pneumococcal vaccine, polio vaccine, influenza, varicella, hepatitis A. The studies are lacking there. So we're expected to on their word that these vaccines are safe. Maybe there's another explanation. Vaccines are a multi-billion dollar industry internationally. And for many pharmaceutical companies, it's the fastest growing segment of their business. Even the Center for Disease Control makes money from licensing of vaccines.
Keeping in mind that the Center for Disease Control is a private corporation.
And on top of that, there is a revolving door between the Center for Disease Control, the FDA, and the vaccine manufacturers in terms of recruiting. For example, the former CDC director is now the head of Merck's vaccine division.
So the CDC is pretty much going to say, that Julie Gerberding, she knows what she's doing, and we're going to say any vaccines coming out of that vaccine division at Merck have to be good.
So what we're seeing here is a lot of conflicts of interest. And we also know that the data that has been accumulated regarding different studies have been manipulated as well. For example, the association between autism and mercury and autism and vaccines are still open questions, despite the fact that they say it's settled science.
Can't be settled science, because they're relying on the statement that, well, here's these babies, they got all of these vaccines and they're not autistic. So there can't be an association with the vaccines given to these babies over here who developed neurological symptoms and ultimately were diagnosed as autistic. So here's my answer to that. What was the nutrition status of the mother during the pregnancy? What was the nutrition status in the first month or two of life of those babies? The difference that is able to be quantified in the health status of those babies. Some babies are very cranky, colicky. They don't settle into life easily. They don't digest foods well. So many differences among all of the babies. And to me, that is the beginning part of investigating why some babies have issues with vaccines and some babies seem to just sail right along.
Now, the other point is that you can devise a study to prove any point you want.
That's true.
So I think that's why you hear people quoting studies that say vaccines are perfectly safe. But the majority of the studies that claim to prove, for example, that autism is not associated with thimerosal or the MMR vaccine have significant conflicts of interest, have significant flaws in their methods, or they do not answer the whole question. And on the other side of the debate, and this is rarely mentioned by the press, are the biological studies that continue to be published supporting the association between autism and thimerosal and the MMR vaccine. There are also two published studies associating increased risk of autism and receiving special education services with having received the hepatitis B vaccination at birth. So I think there still remains a lot of unanswered questions. And, you know, when you go to ask your pediatrician, the standard line is, oh, vaccines are perfectly safe.
One of the areas that I think would be important for people to investigate are the vaccination rates in different developed nations around the world, and that some areas of populations around the globe are just not vaccinated. And typically they would be experiencing from time to time those so-called childhood illnesses that ultimately provide an immune system response and future immune protection from further exposure to those infectious situations like chicken pox, measles, mumps, diphtheria, whooping cough.
Now, here's one of the studies that haven't been done. And for years, the government has been asked to perform a large-scale study of fully vaccinated children compared to unvaccinated controls to assess their total health and to compare rates of autism in the two populations. But the standard response to our request, the request of those people, has been silence or the argument that to leave children unvaccinated is unethical. But that's not entirely true, because you have populations who have chosen not to vaccinate for religious reasons. So you already have a control group right there. So the flip side of that is people feel it's more unethical to inject 4 million infants a year in this country with a vaccine schedule that has not been subjected to a placebo-controlled clinical trial. And here's an analogy. The assumption of safety is analogous to arguing that because 10 individual drugs are safe for children, it is therefore safe to give a child all 10 at once. And speaking of drugs, you can say the same thing about drugs in adults. You know, they're tested on individual bases, but to think that you can give 10 drugs to an adult all at once is perfectly safe, and that's done a lot, is you're missing the point.
More than people know, it is relatively common in a senior population, Dr. Slavin.
Now, here's the other point. The safety and efficacy testing of a new vaccine is often performed only in comparison to a previously approved vaccine, not to a true placebo. So in other words, the vaccine that they're comparing it to may have side effects. The new vaccine can have side effects, but you'll come to the conclusion that there's no difference from your control group because it's not a true placebo. And then regarding long-term outcomes, the use of hormone replacement therapy comes to mind as an example of why it's critical not to assume safety of any widespread treatment without actually following patients over a very long term. And that's the main thing. Imagine this, we're giving babies vaccines. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to them 20, 30 years down the line or what long-term effects they have. The long-term safety studies of vaccines for outcomes other than infectious disease have not been completed. So when you take a vaccine, you're taking a lot for granted. And I think we still have the right to refuse vaccines, but I think that right is being taken away from us slowly but surely.
Okay, in the state of California, Dr. Slavin, there is, I believe, currently on the books or to be considered as in a referendum or a decision in the state of California that all children must be vaccinated, and that I guess it's all of the children going into the public school system. I don't know what the requirements would be if children were homeschooled or in private schools. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come. Juice is the innovative way to get the benefits of super juices in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Pomegranate benefits without the sugar. Acai, noni, goji berry in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Easy to carry with you to work, when traveling, or just too busy to juice. Antioxidant and immune support benefits in capsules. Find out more at Janazon.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Slavin. And I want to remind you that here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, we try to keep up to date with the latest diagnostic and therapeutic tools. And just for starters, I'm reminding you now, go to our website, drslavin.com. Go to the functional drop-down menu, and you'll see such advances like the Zytoscan, the cell well-being test, and my favorite of all, the therapeutic treatment called UVLRX, which is giving people tremendous benefits.
For information on the Institute of Advanced Medicine, go to drslavin.com.
Janabalm does it all. Great fragrance, soothing moisture, healing ingredients that are all organic. Try it today. Heal chapped lips. Stop itching from an insect bite. Soothe a rash, all with Janabalm. has sunflower oil, beeswax, calendula, to name just a few of the ingredients in the healing combination in Janabalm. Find Janabalm at Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about vaccines. And it's very scary out there, Dr. Slavin. People are very frightened about this Zika situation, and they're going to provide a vaccine for you. And that'll solve all the problems.
We hear the so-called experts, the doctors on TV, saying, get your child vaccinated. It's perfectly safe. Then why did Congress back in 1986 pass the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act? And it was designed to compensate families for vaccine-related injury or death. And what do they include as far as vaccine injuries? They list brain damage, paralytic disorders, anaphylaxis, seizures, and death, which are the basis for compensation if they occurred within a specific time period after the vaccine.
But if you have a strong immune system and you're kind of, your body's kind of dealing with the potential effects of a vaccine, but 5 years after having a vaccine, you are stressed, you ate too much sugar, you were exposed to other pathogens, and ultimately you succumbed to certain aspects of how that vaccine was meant to work, but 5 years down the road, you are out of luck. Dr. Slavin, how many people with Guillain-Barré syndrome, a very real situation that happens more frequently than the vaccine makers would like to admit?
So not only do they admit the possibility of injuries from vaccines, but the Childhood Vaccine Injury Act also changed the legal landscape. Instead of keeping doctors and the vaccine industry directly liable for adverse reactions to vaccine, the Childhood Vaccine Injury Act created a taxpayer-financed compensation program for injuries.
So those vaccine manufacturers who are making billions, who are using vaccines as a huge growth aspect to their corporate profits, they do not have to be financially responsible for the injuries.
In other words, so if you can't sue the a doctor, you can't sue the manufacturer of the vaccine. It's just this compensation fund will decide how much the damage is worth and out of taxpayers' money pay for it. So this act deprived children of two of the most significant legal protections they had to ensure safety and remedial compensation. Number one, informed consent and the right to sue manufacturers directly. So what happens if a manufacturer doesn't have to worry about being sued? He doesn't have to be careful like he would have before. I think that's an important point. Well, you know, if I can't be sued, you know, I'll cut corners, I'll come up with a vaccine, I'll make my billions, and then if something happens, I don't have to worry, and worst case scenario, I'll take it off the market, but they have no liability.
Okay, so denying that the vaccine was the cause of injury is very much a situation. You're the burden of proof on the injured party.
And, you know, it's a typical, you know, political double talk how they talk about this. The Department of Justice and the Department of Health and Human Services, in claims of vaccine-induced injury or death before the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, neither the vaccine industry nor the doctors are defendants in this. And to date, apparently, they've had 2,500 claims of vaccine-induced injury and has committed over $2 billion in compensation and legal fees.
But 4 out of 5 claimants have lost their petition.
Really? And here's the other thing, too. And this is what I mean by, political talk. The idea behind the compensation program is simple. If children are injured in the war on disease, society has an ethical duty to care for them, just as society has a duty to care for soldiers injured while serving in the military. Now, if you don't see the difference between that, then we're all in trouble. You know, this is the war on disease is not the same thing as injecting kids with dangerous vaccines. So something I think we all need to be better educated when it comes to injecting the vaccines that contain so many foreign ingredients in them. None of them are natural. The MMR has ingredients besides the different viruses, medium 199. What does that mean? It has vitamins, amino acids, fetal bovine serum, sucrose, glutamate. It has phosphate, recombinant human albumin, neomycin, sorbitol, hydrolyzed gelatin, chick embryo cell culture, and then something called WI-38, human diploid lung fibroblasts. And I think like a food label, if you don't understand what all those ingredients mean, you should look it up and see, know what you're being injected with.
Is tetanus on that list, Dr. Slavin? Because just recently I had occasion to review what might be in a tetanus vaccine, and it was very interesting, some of the negatives associated being given a tetanus vaccine. The presentation from the medical community offering that tetanus shot would describe it as very benign.
Well, they do have, they don't have tetanus by itself, but they have a tetanus diphtheria vaccine where they put in aluminum phosphate, formaldehyde, thimerosal, but not every formulation has that. Ammonium phosphate, modified Mueller's media, which contain bovine extracts. And again, it's being introduced through an injection, so it bypasses your immune system, for example, the digestive tract, where your body could prevent it from getting into your body if it wanted to. And that may be why they don't use that route, but they're giving the injection. And like I mentioned earlier, the presence of antibodies does not equal the presence of immunity. So I think there's just a lot of concern about vaccines. Still, even though the government keeps repeating that they're perfectly safe.
So. Okay, perfectly safe, and yet we have many people who present to their physicians with injuries that they've associated with a vaccine that they've received. And I'm going to talk about essentially the influenza vaccine. So frequently, I mentioned the Guillain-Barré syndrome, cases of paralysis, people who've received the influenza vaccine, getting the flu, getting the flu within a few weeks of having received the vaccine, or during several months later, during the height of what we have come to regard as the flu, cold and flu season, that they are becoming ill because with the influenza. Okay, so very interesting what people need to be looking out for there.
Well, here is the injuries associated with vaccines, and some of these conditions you've never heard of, like transverse myelitis, it's a neurological problem, brachial plexus neuritis, Guillain-Barré, we've heard of, a form of paralysis, and can be associated with death. And by the way, these conditions are associated with the flu vaccine. You have respiratory distress resulting in severe bronchial, esophageal, and intestinal problems. And I'm skipping down to some of the other vaccines. It seems that the majority, and I'm looking at the adjudicated settlements by the Department of Justice, you know, as far as vaccine injuries go, between November 2014 and February 2015. It's a very short period of time. That's like 4 months. You have a lot of things, and the vast majority of the side effects or injuries are associated with the flu vaccine, which is kind of interesting. You see, all this is flu. You have a couple other vaccines in there, but by far the vast majority are from the flu vaccine.
Okay, that's one of the vaccines that I think so many adults are very much likely to have their decision-making process supported by mainstream media information, and the different news programs tend to trot out the so-called experts and talk about the how severe the flu is going to be, how people need to protect themselves, and nowhere is it discussed that the person needs to stop consuming sugar, stop consuming what we all know would be characterized as junk food, and sodas, artificial sweeteners. All of those things have the potential to reduce your immune response. If you take antibiotics, again, taking the antibiotics does reduce the capacity of your immune system to respond appropriately.
Here's another fact. So many people, and this goes back to that vaccine injury compensation fund that was developed in 1986. It was because so many people were being injured and killed by vaccines during the 1980s that the pharmaceutical companies petitioned Congress to pass legislation giving them legal immunity from cases in civil court. They basically blackmailed Congress by threatening to get out of the vaccine business if such legislation was not passed.
Let's get them out of the vaccine business.
But here's the other interesting thing, is that one of the biggest purchasers of vaccines is the CDC. They spent over $4 billion on vaccines each year. Is that some kind of a payoff to the drug companies?
Revolving door. That music means that we're needing to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
A glutathione IV is the most efficient way to enhance your glutathione levels. This superior antioxidant is difficult to absorb when taken orally. Glutathione is so crucial because it has the ability to revitalize other antioxidants. More importantly, glutathione levels are associated with your body's ability to neutralize radiation overexposure, as well as support DNA repair mechanisms and your immune function. Low levels of glutathione ultimately lead to symptoms of disease and aging. You can support glutathione IV effectiveness with NAC, alpha-lipoic acid, and high sulfur-containing foods such as garlic, onions, cauliflower, avocado, and walnuts. Get started today on the path to optimized wellness with an intravenous glutathione treatment. Call 954-748-4991 to discuss your glutathione status. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about the injuries that people might experience when they have been given a vaccine. We're talking about the way that the compensation program was structured in the 1980s when vaccine manufacturers threatened to get out of the vaccine manufacturing business if Congress didn't protect them. And then the whole connection with the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, and how that was structured to be in a very friendly mode with vaccine manufacturers, and how the head of the CDC, who restructured things at the CDC, she is now heading, she's the president of Merck's vaccine division. $5 billion a year for Merck with that division.
Well, I think, like you mentioned, the interesting thing, too, is that the U.S. government has patents on a lot of vaccines, like the Gardasil vaccine.
And earns royalties. Yeah.
Now, but here's something. Dr. William Thompson, in 2014, who was a senior epidemiologist at the CDC, and he had co-authored many published research on the MMR vaccine for the CDC back in 2004, he made a decision to become a whistleblower and reveal data that was concealed by the CDC linking the MMR vaccine to autism among African-American boys. In addition, Merck has been involved in a long federal lawsuit with allegations of fraud over the mumps portion of the MMR vaccine. In a case filed back in 2010 by two whistleblowers, their virologists who worked for Merck. Merck has apparently tried hard to get this case thrown out of court and keep this news out of the media, but in late 2014, a federal judge finally ruled that the case is to move forward. I think, you know, when they say on the one hand, vaccines are perfectly safe, then why are all these issues coming up? Why do the pharmaceutical companies need immunity from lawsuits if they're perfectly safe? Why does the government hold patents and get royalties on vaccines when they're the ones that issue the guidelines as to what vaccines you should get? To me, that's a clear conflict of interest.
All of these issues and not very many answers, because the media continues to put forth the information that the vaccines are safe, that you must have your children vaccinated before they return to school, that it is unethical to leave your children unvaccinated. So some of the things that you can do, there are exemption forms in the schools if you choose not to have your children vaccinated at a specific time. One of the suggestions also is to make sure that you're doing vaccines that are single dose vaccines. so that you're not exposing your child to the preservatives that are typically put into multi-dose vaccines, preservatives such as thimerosal and aluminum, to make sure that your child is very well when receiving a vaccine, to never give a vaccine to a child that has a cold or a cough or has been dealing with a digestive problem. No, what might seem to be insignificant little illness, don't get vaccinated when you're dealing with that illness.
And we're still waiting for the study comparing unvaccinated groups to vaccinated groups. You know, they did the same thing comparing children who drink fluoridated water to areas where they don't use fluoridated water, and they compared the incidence of cavities. There was no difference.
The situation with that fluoride, the information goes beyond that, Dr. Slavin. People, boys in particular, who are continually exposed to fluoride over the age of 12, they have a greater incidence of hip fracture leg fracture. It shouldn't be hip fracture. It's leg fracture. Higher incidence of hip fracture in the senior population where fluoridation is common in the municipal water.
So before we run out of time today, I just want to give the CDC equal time here. They say that vaccines are one of the greatest success stories in public health. Through the use of vaccines, we have eradicated smallpox and nearly eliminated wild polio virus. The number of people who experience the devastating effects of preventable infectious diseases like measles, diphtheria, and whooping cough is at an all-time low. To ensure the continued success of vaccines in the United States, it's crucial to make sure that vaccines are safe. So how do they do this? So before vaccines are approved by the Food and Drug Administration, they are tested extensively by scientists to ensure they are effective and safe. Vaccines are the best defense we have against infectious diseases.
Au contraire, your immune system is the best defense you have against infectious disease.
Right. However, no vaccine is actually 100% safe or effective for everyone because each person's body reacts to vaccines differently. And infectious disease becomes less common. As they become less common, we hear less about the serious consequences of preventable illnesses like diphtheria and tetanus, and more about the risks associated with vaccines. It's good to be informed about health choices, but the reality is that Americans have never been healthier than we are today, and vaccines have never been safer than they are today.
Americans have never been healthier. Again, au contraire, how many people are dealing with cancer, heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, digestive distress? Oh, my goodness.
The benefits of vaccine far outweigh the risks. As science continues to advance, we strive to develop safer vaccines and improve delivery to protect ourselves against disease more effectively.
Why do we have to develop safer vaccines if we have already had these vaccines tested extensively by scientists at the CDC?
Well, you know, like I said, if the vaccines were so safe, why do the drug companies want protection from being sued? And that's when they came up with the Vaccine Injury Act. So, and like we pointed out, the government makes money on vaccines. The pharmaceutical companies make billions of dollars on vaccines. And could that be the reason why they promote the vaccines to the extent they do, because of the big money that's generated from their sale?
A very important topic for our listeners to hopefully be motivated to do some additional investigation with regard to exposing their children to different vaccines and possibly exposing themselves to the flu vaccine. So we are coming up in September, October with this time of the year when flu vaccine is very much promoted.
Just one last thing. Studies outside the U.S. show unvaccinated children are healthier than vaccinated children.
A concern that is very important for people to understand. So that you have risk benefit, you evaluate the risks associated with the vaccines, you evaluate the benefit. And outside of the country, there's very clear information.
Yeah, vaccinated children were more likely to suffer from asthma, eczema, ear infections, hyperactivity, and many other chronic conditions.
So where was that study done, Dr. Slavin? New Zealand. And very interesting information about the long-term influence that vaccines given to infants has on people in the following years.
But in this country, nobody talks about these other reports about the comparison between the two. Unvaccinated children show very low prevalence of the following disorders: dyslexia, speech delay, sensory processing disorder, anxiety, depression, bedwetting, celiac disease, gluten sensitivity, and GERD.
All of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be back tomorrow at 10.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.